Why is it that sometimes we do not want to tell others the truth? Why is it that with family or friends or coworkers or classmates in school, neighbors, we don't want to be plain and open and truthful about matters that they need in their life? We know that there is a clear problem with something going on with them, but we're afraid to tell them the truth. Why is that? Well, there are a number of reasons, and I want to talk about some of them this morning as we continue to look at a series of lessons on the parable of the sower. Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, we looked at Luke chapter 8, Luke's account of the parable of the sower. And when you look at that parable, there are some main characteristics of it, some main points. One, of course, is the sower. It starts with Jesus, then his apostles, and then all Christians today. Sowing the seed of God's word, that's the second element in the parable. The seed is the word of God, and we talked about that some last week. And then, of course, the four different soils that the seed will fall on, and we will be looking at that in future lessons, Lord willing. And then Jesus introduces how the devil does not want the seed of the Word of God to be planted in people's hearts. So these are the main elements of that parable. And we looked at the sower last week, and we said some things about the seed being the Word of God. This morning on the program, I want to come back to the sower and the sowing of the seed of the Word of God, and I want to talk a little bit about some stumbling blocks to sowing the seed. What stands in our way from telling people the truth of God's Word? And I hope that you will benefit from this study. I'm glad that you join us each week. I appreciate your interest in listening and studying. Even more so, I appreciate your interest in making change in your life. Coming to one of our services, it's great to listen at home or in the car to the Word of God, but we've got to do more than that. We've got to apply that in our lives, and some of that application involves worshiping God each Sunday with other Christians. So I'm glad that you're listening. But in time, I want you to think about, and not take a lot of time with it, but think about how that I need to be a faithful Christian, and that involves worshiping with other Christians in an assembly, a church, an assembly of individuals to worship God. And that's going to involve more than just being at home or riding in the car. So I appreciate your interest in the program and encourage you to think about how that you need to take that next step. And this morning, I want to talk about some stumbling blocks to telling other people the truth of the Word of God. Sometimes we have false expectations. I want to talk about that a little bit. Sometimes we are thinking success. We're very success-oriented in the business world, in the sports world. We want a team to succeed and win. We want a business to succeed and win over the competition. We are success-oriented at school, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that, but we bring that into our preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and sometimes that can be a stumbling block. Number three, I want to talk about controversy. Number four, I want to talk about making enemies. I think that's a popular reason why we do not talk with others about the Word of God. We don't want to make an enemy. We don't want to be controversial. And then last of all, we're going to talk about a little bit this morning, maybe an unlikely stumbling block, an unlikely hindrance, and that is our own selves. So let's consider this morning the importance of sowing the seed of the Word of God. Remember in Luke chapter 8, the sower went out sowing the seed of the Word of God. And the background or the context of that was Jesus going about preaching and teaching the good tidings of the kingdom of God. So that's what this sowing of the seed is. The preaching and teaching of the kingdom of God. What are some stumbling blocks that get in the way? Well, first of all, I believe there are the dangers of what I'm going to call false expectations. We learned from the parable of the sower that the seed does not always fall on the good ground. And in a future lesson, we'll talk about the different grounds. And because the seed does not always fall on the good ground and produce a faithful Christian, an honest and good heart that receives the Word of God and obeys the Word of God and becomes fruitful and a faithful Christian, because that doesn't always happen, we get disillusioned. And we stop telling others about the Word of God. And so we expect every time that the Word of God is going to produce a faithful Christian, and it doesn't. But we're told ahead of time, friends, in the Word of God that that's not going to happen. We don't need to have this false expectation that every person is going to obey the gospel. We need to be realistic. But sometimes when we preach and teach and nothing happens, we get disillusioned. And disillusionment can lead to despair, to doubt, to discouragement, and to defeat. And so we just simply give up talking with others about the Word of God. We talk about how hard it is today with the current situations that are going on, and nobody wants to obey anymore, and nobody wants to hear the gospel anymore, and we do that kind of thing, and sometimes individuals just stop talking with others. We need to remember that there is a hardship in sowing the seed. Paul told Timothy to suffer hardship as an evangelist, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, and other passages in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, chapter 2, verse 3, verse 9. There's a hardship. There's a challenge. And there are going to be many times when people are not interested. I've invited a number of people in Clarksville. They don't come. I've asked a number of people in Clarksville for a Bible study. They're not interested. But then you'll happen upon one who is, and I'm currently studying with someone like that. You've got to keep going. Many do not want the Word of God, or if they do for a little while, they turn back. You might recall in John chapter 6 and verse 66, many who had been following Jesus turned back and followed no more with him. We've got to understand that that's simply going to be the case. We've got to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. You've got to keep talking with others about the Word of God. I don't believe we should be a naive optimist. I don't believe we should be a blind pessimist. But I believe we should be an optimistic realist. We need to be realistic that not everyone is interested in the Word of God. That's what the parable teaches us up front. We see it in the life of Jesus. Some wanted his word, some did not. We see it in the book of Acts. Some responded to the preaching of the gospel, others did not. And so we need to read our Bibles and learn to be realistic. Not everybody is interested. But at the same time, we need to be optimistic. I believe we should be an optimistic realist. And just simply not try to have these expectations that end up being really false. But be balanced in our thinking. Some will obey, some will not. And if I keep hitting a dry patch, if you will, of individuals who just simply don't want the Word of God, understand that the time is going to come eventually where you'll find that good and honest heart. We've got to move on to the next. Jesus didn't get discouraged and quit when individuals didn't want the Word of God. Paul didn't get discouraged and quit. There are different times where we're told to shake off the dust of your feet and go on to the next city. Jesus told his apostles that. Paul actually practiced that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13. Just move on. Just move on. Another stumbling block to talking with others about the truth of God's Word can be this matter of success. And we live in a world of instant gratification, and in many ways that's not bad. We just don't need to bring in this idea of instant gratification to talking with others about the Word of God, because it won't work like that. Sometimes you have a quick response, and that's encouraging, but many times it takes a while. Many will not obey quickly or suddenly. In the book of Acts, we find that there are cases of individuals obeying the gospel the same day that the gospel is preached, and that's encouraging. And if you're like that, and if you hear something and you're convinced of the truth, obey it immediately. But there are individuals, for example, I mentioned Acts 13 earlier. In Acts 13, verse 42, after Paul preaches in the synagogue about Jesus and the remission of sins through him, as they went out, they besought that these words might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the synagogue broke up, many of the Jews and of the devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. So some believed that day. But look at this. And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of God. And the Jews saw the multitudes. They were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things which were spoken by Paul and blasphemed. Some in that crowd, no doubt, had heard them the week before, but they didn't obey the week before. It's going to take some time for them. When Paul was in Athens in Acts chapter 17, verse 32, Luke records that some wanted to hear more about the message. Some were convinced that day, others mocked, and then you have some that we might say are in between. They're undecided. We would hear the concerning this yet again. We want to hear some more about this. We've got to simply understand that that's going to happen. So we can't have this attitude of instant success. We patiently sow the seed and wait for the harvest to come. Another matter of success that we need to be mindful of is not just instant success, I've got to have it now, but also the idea of visible success, that I have to see something before it is successful. Many times the good result of seed sowing is not seen immediately. Obedience is delayed, and it's not seen by us. It might be seen by somebody else later. We know that there is a process involved, a growth process. If I plant some seeds in a garden and move on, or if seeds drop on the ground accidentally, I'm not going to see that growth. Somebody else might later. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm bringing in from time to time some passages that have this seed figure or metaphor, planting of the seed of the Word of God. And here's another one, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Paul writes, I, Paul, planted when he was in Corinth. He planted and preached the word of God there in Acts 18, and there were some who obeyed the gospel at that time, but he left. And then Paul writes, I planted, Apollos watered. Later in Acts chapter 18, Paul had left Ephesus. Apollos comes and preaches to those who are already Christians and no doubt preached to the lost as well. We know from Acts 18 that he preached to Christians. And he watered, but God gave the increase. So there's a process, and so we can sow the seed, and maybe time passes, and maybe somebody else works on that individual, and then the seed of the Word of God grows. And so don't look for instant success. Don't look for visible success. You might say something to somebody that is the truth of God's Word, and it takes a while to grow, and you might not even be around later when it comes to fruition. So be very careful about that. Don't let that be a stumbling block. Don't let false expectations be a stumbling block. Just talk with people about the Word of God. A third area, and this is an area we're going to talk about a couple of things here now that are negative in nature. I would say that this is one of the biggest stumbling blocks to talking with people about the truth of God's Word. We don't want to be negative. I don't want to be negative. We don't want to get up in the morning and just, you know, be mean to people. That's typically not in our nature. It may be in the nature of some, but not us. And so we're not looking for a fight. We're not looking for an argument. We shy away from, and not even in the area of religion. It could be at Walmart. It could be at Kroger. It could be anywhere we're having dealing with anybody. We just don't want to, you know, clash swords with an individual, so to speak. So we're mindful of that. Now, when it comes to talking about Bible matters, that can certainly come up. So a third stumbling block to sowing the seed often is we don't want to become controversial. We know often that sowing the seed of the Word of God leads to controversy. We know that because many people haven't changed their life. They don't want to change their life. Their life is messed up. They're living in sin. They've got problems. And the Word of God is the opposite of all of that. The Word of God tells us to get rid of our problems, to get out of our sin, to live a righteous life, not an unrighteous life, to be good, not bad. And so the Word of God is often opposite of how a person is living. And so when you bring up that Word of God, just immediately, it's a controversial point. Don't tell me how to live. You can't, don't judge me. Don't try to correct me. Mind your own business, etc. And so Jesus faced that with many of the Jews. Paul faced that and others. Peter and John faced that right after the church gets started in Jerusalem. It's just natural that controversy is going to come about. And we could read many examples of this, but just understand that it's going to be there. I'm mindful of the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was given a job from God to talk to his own people to try to bring them back before going into the Babylonian captivity. Many of them did not want to listen to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had a very difficult task. And it involved, unfortunately, being controversial. I'm mindful of Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 10. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have not lent, neither have men lent to me, yet every one of them doth curse me. I'm a man of strife and a man of contention. He's not talking about his own personality. He's talking about when he preaches the Word of God, it causes him to be controversial. Verse 11, Jehovah said, verily I will strengthen thee for good. Verily I will cause the enemy to make supplication unto thee in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Can one break iron, even iron from the north and brass? The substance in thy treasures will I give for a spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. I will make them to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not. For a fire is kindled in my anger, which shall burn upon you. O Jehovah, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, Jeremiah is saying. Avenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered reproach. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words were unto me a joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Jehovah God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of them that make merry, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou indeed be unto me as a deceitful brook and waters that fail? Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, that thou mayest stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. They shall return unto thee, but thou shalt not return unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fortified brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith Jehovah. I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Jeremiah had a very difficult life, and it clearly comes out here. And there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. Verse 16, he found that the Word of God was a joy and a rejoicing in his heart. But when he spoke that to others, they did not like him. But God said that he would strengthen and help him in that difficult work. We're going to become controversial, friends, when we tell people the Word of God, but don't let that be a stumbling block to talking with others about the truth. Along the same lines, let me talk about a fourth stumbling block that is similar, and that is we simply don't want to make enemies. Think about it. We've got a neighbor that lives right next to us. We don't want them to be an enemy. We've got a coworker that sits in that cubby right next to us, or in the same office, or in the same building. We have a classmate that sits right next to us in the classroom, and so forth. We don't want to make enemies, and often that will be the case. Even Jesus said that he was hated, John 15, 18 through 25, and that his followers would be hated. There are going to be people who are moved with jealousy and don't like the truth that is being preached. We read that just a moment ago, Acts 5:17, Acts 13:45, Acts 17, verse 5. We begin to try to help someone and change their life, and then other people get all jealous about that, and they get upset. Or it might be just outright antagonistic opposition. It might be railing and ridicule. We might be charged with being mad or a fanatic or bigoted or racist, or all kinds of dirty names. Paul described the preaching of the gospel as foolishness, 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 21, and chapter 4, 11 through 13. People are going to think the gospel message is foolish because it doesn't match up to the intelligent wisdom of man. Paul said, "Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Galatians 4, 16. So in the face of all of this, we've got to simply understand that a good sower is going to keep going. They're not going to be deterred by the hatred and the jealousy and the antagonistic opposition and the railing and the ridicule and the name calling. They're simply going to keep going. Jesus told his disciples in what we call the limited commission in Matthew 10, 14 to keep going on to the next house. You've got to keep going on. Acts 13, 51, Paul shook the dust off his feet and kept going. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep moving on. After there was a riot in Ephesus, in Acts 20 and verse 1, Paul kept going. After he was thrown in prison and released in Acts 16, he gathered the brethren together and encouraged them and kept going. After he was stoned in Acts 14, he got up and kept going. We've got to do that. And we don't even have to experience imprisonment and stoning. And sometimes we will stop at much less opposition. So let us keep going. And then, last of all, number five, I'd like to talk about maybe an unlikely stumbling block, one that maybe we haven't been thinking about because all of these other matters often involve things outside of us. But if we're not careful, friends, we will refuse to tell other people the Word of God and sow the seed because of ourself, something in ourself. Sometimes selfishness keeps the sower from sowing the seed, and so we need to talk about that. Some put them, their selves are out there so much that it hinders the gospel of Christ. Paul would never preach himself. Paul did not use words of flattery and words of wisdom. He didn't put himself out in front. In 1 Corinthians 2:1-5, he preached Christ and him crucified. Jesus was always out front. It reminds me of those who come to Philip in John chapter 12, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Jesus needs to be out in front, not ourselves. But sometimes we're so much thinking about ourselves. What is someone going to do to me? How is somebody going to think about me, my feelings, and my this and my that, that we don't get out there and talk with others about the Word of God? Let's not sow ourselves. Let's sow the seed of the Word of God. And let's not have wrong motives. Paul talks about those who preach the gospel, but out of envy and strife, Philippians 2:15-17. Let's not have the wrong motives. That can get in the way. I'm sowing the seed in order to gain friends. I'm sowing the seed in order to become popular. I'm sowing the seed in order to have a rival with somebody else, beat somebody else in doing it. Let's not have the wrong motives to impress someone, etc. And let us never sow the seed for some personal gain. Paul would not do that in 1 Thessalonians 2:3-6. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't sow the seed out of covetousness or flattery or trying to get somebody to follow him. It was about Christ. Friends, let's avoid the stumbling blocks and get out there and let people see Jesus. John 12:21, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." We're not going to let false expectations or instant success or controversy or enemies or even ourselves stand in the way. Friends, if we can help you to hear and believe and obey the truth of the Word of God, let's get together and do that. The seed is the Word of God, and it'll bear great fruit in your life and mine if we will let it. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.